It's from the Old Testament. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, we have the story of Moses. And of course, we know that he was working with his father-in-law, Jethro, and he was tending the flock. And it says while he was there, in chapter 3, verse 2, that an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. Now, there's an interruption. I mean, come on now, work with me here. Is that an interruption or not? You're out doing your yard, and all of a sudden, an angel appears in a burning bush.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, the founder and president of the Intentional Living Center and your advocate for the family. Today, Dr. Randy continues his teaching, When God Interrupts. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt. This is such a cool topic. These 3 days, when God interrupts, are we sensitive to the interruptions of God? Sometimes we don't realize it's God doing the interrupting, or we get so busy we just don't even pay attention to the interruption, as we're going to hear with the burning bush here story in just a moment. You hear me reference in a moment a box with an arrow, which is sort of the ultimate interruption when you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and someone has put out an estate sale or garage sale sign with an arrow. They don't even have to write down what it is. Just put a box out there with an arrow. How many people, and when we go for walks in our neighborhood, I see people constantly, you know, coming down the street. When I get to the end of the street, I know why. There's a box with an arrow, and it interrupts people's lives. Today, we're going to find out from Scripture, what does that mean, and how do we embrace that intentionally? This entire series, by the way, is available to you, and I'll tell you about that coming up in a few minutes. Right now, let's get over to the teaching studio and continue When God Interrupts. I was thinking about boxes with arrows in the Scripture, and I thought about Jonah. Now, there was a big box and an arrow. There was a big interruption. Jonah was minding his own business, sort of, and then he starts to run from God, and God interrupts his life, and the great fish interrupted his life. Joseph was doing what Joseph did, being the younger brother with the coat of many colors, the favorite son, you know, the one that the brothers didn't like. God intervenes and interrupts his life, and he ends up in a pit. David had Goliath. That was a box with an arrow. Mary had the angel. That was certainly an interruption. Esther had her uncle. Nehemiah had his friends who came and told him what was going on back home. I guess the question, as I was thinking about my box with an arrow, and I was thinking about the people who were sidetracked in life to come to walk through my garage and see the junk that we'd put out on the table. I was thinking about, when was the last time God interrupted my life? Have you ever felt the interruption of God in your life? Some of you may be thinking, well, those are stories in the old, you know, those are stories in the Bible. I mean, these are biblical characters. I mean, God interrupts these guys. Look at these stories. They're dramatic. But has God ever interrupted your life? And the answer is yes. God interrupts our life all the time. As we're going about our business, doing what we're doing, we're driving down the road, there's a box with an arrow that God has placed. It said, turn here. I want your attention for just a few minutes. So how do we know that God has interrupted our lives? There's three things. One response that we can have to when God interrupts our lives is we simply ignore him. God wants to speak to us. He's put things into our path. It could be a circumstance. It could be a person. It could be a tragedy. It could be a thought. It could be an awareness from Scripture. But God has interrupted our life in some fashion, and like my box with an arrow, the vast majority of people just drive on by. And we ignore it, see? Happens in my life often. Have you ever had a situation where you've walked away from something and your spirit was troubled, and you sensed at that moment God was trying to do something and I wasn't paying attention? A day later, you sense, you know, yesterday when this was occurring, I should have been listening. Maybe God was doing something at that moment and I was too busy going going down the road that I didn't pay attention to the box with the arrow. I didn't pay attention that God was telling me to turn off. He had something very special going on in my life at that moment. I think most of us, if we're being honest, drive on by. God's got something real special for us, something He wants us to be involved with, or a life that He wants us to touch. We drive on by. There's a second response to knowing what God is trying to do when He has a box with an arrow in front of us. We can feel confused, angry, and hurt. I think whenever we're in a situation where we start to ask why, God, why is there cancer? Why was there an accident? Why did I lose a job? Why is there a breach in that relationship? We can't answer the why questions, but is it possible that God is trying to get our attention? Is it possible that at that moment, this is like a huge box with an arrow that God has placed in front of us to say, stop, pay attention to me. I've got something to say to you. I got something to show you. I want you to become inquisitive. Come and look and see what I want to teach you through this situation. So easy to become angry, frustrated, confused. Maybe it's just nothing more than a spiritual box with an arrow. God's trying to show us something. There's a third kind of response that we can have to this. And it's like some of the characters we see in the scripture. When God interrupts our life, we can be brought to our knees in humbleness and say, God, this is holy ground. What are you wanting from me through this? I'll tell you, that's not something I often do. I like to fix it, I like to drive on by, I like to rationalize it, I like to make sense of it, try to answer all the questions, instead of just humbly saying, God, you are in charge and I am not.
Thank you for listening to Intentional Living. Today's teaching is just a portion of a multi-part lesson to help you live an intentional life in Christ. To see how you can receive a complete copy of the teaching on CD, go to theintentionallife.com. Dr. Randy will be right back.
Hi, I've been married 38 years, and for 20 years of my marriage, my husband and I were on separate pages as far as our relationship with God. He really was not a believer, and I prayed every day that he would become a believer. After 20 years, we had a really rough time. We did separate for a year, and during that time, God worked in him and changed his heart. We got back together after a year, and he has been in Christ. We read the Bible every morning. We pray together, and I thank God. It took 20 years, but God changed him. I know my prayers, God was listening, but God is the one who changed him. And now it is a great marriage, and I thank God for it, and we're good Christian lives right now. And I thank you for your program. I think it does a lot of good, and tell people that never lose hope, that God does listen, and in His time, He will change their heart.
Learning to be intentional will help you to live intentionally, which will have a profound influence on your life and even those around you. When you become a monthly member, Dr. Randy's teachings will help you to be a more intentional parent, a more intentional spouse, and you'll get a better understanding of what God wants to do in your life. Join today, and as a monthly member, you'll also receive the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which contains autographed copies of Starved for Affection and The Power of One Thing, as well as the Intentional Living Wristband. And every month, you'll continue to receive Dr. Randy's teaching CDs. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717, and press number 4.
Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy as he continues today's teaching.
It's like some of the characters we see in the scripture. When God interrupts our life, we can be brought to our knees in humbleness and say, God, this is holy ground. What are you wanting from me through this? I'll tell you, that's not something I often do. I like to fix it, I like to drive on by, I like to rationalize it, I like to make sense of it, try to answer all the questions, instead of just humbly saying, God, you are in charge and I am not. You are God and I am not. It is your will, not my will. That's a hard thing to do. But when we get to the place where, when we see the spiritual box with an arrow, we can stop and say, God, what are you trying to teach me? You know, I would challenge us, when we think about intentional living, let's not fear God's interruptions in our lives. In fact, when you think of it spiritually, we should be praying, God, interrupt my life. We should be inviting God to interrupt us. We should be inviting God to put the box with the spiritual arrow in front of us every day and say, turn here. I got something for you. I got something to show you. I got something to teach you. I want something for you to do. We should anticipate it, expect it, invite it, welcome it. In fact, as Christians, we should fear not being interrupted by God. Because we get interrupted by people, we get interrupted by situations and circumstances, we can get interrupted by ourselves, by our thoughts, by our emotions, by our desires, by our wants. But if we're not hearing God interrupting us, if we stop sensing, hey, God's doing something here right now, that's a coldness and a stone-likeness that can happen in our hearts. We should fear the day that we no longer hear God speaking to us. You know, in fact, if God hasn't interrupted your life, you might be asking why. Well, how is it that God interrupts us? You know, we see the characters in the Old Testament, and some of them were, I mean, dramatically, their lives were dramatically interrupted. And we think that was for them, but you know, God can also dramatically interrupt our lives. He can do it in extraordinary ways. Let me just give you one example. It's from the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. Chapter 3, we have the story of Moses. And of course, we know that he was working with his father-in-law, Jethro, and he was tending the flock. And it says while he was there in chapter 3, verse 2, that an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. Now, there's an interruption. I mean, there's, come on now, work with me here. Is that an interruption or not? You're out doing your yard, and all of a sudden, an angel appears in a burning bush. That's kind of like a very special situation there. And what's interesting here, though, it says, so he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, listen to what Moses said, I will now turn to the box with an arrow and see this great sight. You know, the scripture says that when the Lord saw that Moses looked, he spoke to him. I wonder what would happen if Moses had ignored the burning bush. He said, this is a mess. You know what mess this burning bush is going to make? He'd walked on by. He'd driven by. He'd seen the box with a burning bush. That was the arrow that says, pay attention. Isn't that an interruption? Wasn't God doing the major interruption marketing of all time? Isn't he good at that? He sends an angel to Mary. He sends a giant fish to Jonah. He sends a burning bush to Moses. It's kind of like, hello, pay attention. Here's my box with an arrow. And it's interesting that the scripture teaches that God did not speak to Moses until he turned to pay attention to what was going on. Here's the point. God is giving us every day of our lives burning bush experiences. And until we pay attention to the burning bush in our life, God will not speak to us. I'm going to drive by all the garage sales because I think they're ridiculous. But you know what? There's probably lots of treasures out there. And I hear these stories of someone who bought a Picasso painting worth $50 million for a buck and a half at a garage sale. And I think, maybe that's going to be my luck the next time I stop. And that's why people come, because they're looking for that treasure. And I was thinking, you know, when you think about it, if God had a garage sale, we'd want to look at everything, wouldn't we? There's some treasures there. How has God interrupted your life? I'd love to hear that. We're live back here in Intentional Living Studio. Tell us. call 888-888-1717 and comment on our comment line. We'd love to hear how God has interrupted your life and what has come of it. You know, I want to challenge you today to pray about, think about this very moment, starting your intentional living journey for your life, for your family, for your health, for your finances, for your walk in Christ. You know, you're not going to get there any other way. You're not going to do it with good intentions. You're certainly not going to do it with bad intentions. You're not going to do it with just being unintentional. Intentional living is knowing God's intention and then acting on that. It'll glorify God and bring you benefit. Come and start that journey, and you can do that right where you are. We'd like to come alongside and aid you in the encouragement in the process of that. As you become a member in financial support each month of the Intentional Living Center, we say, hey, welcome to the family. We're glad to have you and your support to keep the ministry going. And I want to send you the new member kit. It's a box that will contain two of our best-selling intentional living resources, The Power of One Thing that I wrote, and Starve for Affection. I'll autograph both. Plus, you'll get this teaching on CD. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or call 888-888-1717, okay? And press number 4. Coming up in a moment, Steve Tanner was going to continue his discussion with best-selling author J. Warner Wallace about how God's interruptions really are best responded to intentionally.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Doing one thing today could mean a stronger, more intentional marriage in Christ.
We're already seeing a difference in our marriage. I feel that we're much more connected, and we're learning to blend together rather than try to get the other person to see our way of thinking.
Make a commitment today to join Dr. Randy Carlson for the Intentional Love Marriage Conference, coming to Michigan, New Mexico, and Arizona. Register now at theintentionallife.com.
If you've got a minute, I'll give you three questions to ask yourself when you're negotiating whether to stay or leave a job you hate.
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Your host is Linda Swindling, our intentional workplace expert.
Here are some questions to help you decide whether you should stay in that job you hate. First, are you employable? And are you sure? If you took your services to the marketplace right now, would people want to buy them and hire you? Second, is there anything you need to learn to be competitive in a job search? If so, you might consider taking a class or updating a skill that would make you more competitive. And third, what would your current employer say about your performance? Yes, some companies won't give out any information but your dates of employment. However, not all. So make sure your reputation is a good one. Choose wisely when you decide to stay or leave a job you hate. For Intentional Living, I'm Linda Swindling.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
And welcome back. Steve Tanner here in for Dr. Randy Carlson here for just a few minutes. I like to call it Dr. Carlson is giving me custody of the microphone here for just a few minutes. And it's my pleasure to welcome back J. Warner Wallace, cold case homicide detective in Los Angeles. And he's a strong believer now and teaches at Biola University and just doing some great things. A great follow on Twitter, by the way, if you're into Twitter. You can follow along with some of the challenging things that he will post there, and great information and great building up of faith for those of us who are following Christ. And Jim, again, thank you so much for your time today.
Great to be here with you. I'm really glad to do it.
Okay. Now, yesterday we talked about God interrupting in the context of interrupting our life as we go along and we come to faith in Him, interrupting that path that was chosen by us, or so we think, and now we're choosing to follow the path laid out by Christ. All right. Now let's flip the script into we're following Christ and we are facing now challenges, interruptions to our faith now that we've been in the game for a while. And also you deal with in your book, I mean, following the evidence, challenges to our faith, things that we see in in our culture today, university settings being certainly one of those places, but just in the marketplace of ideas, we face challenges to our faith every day. How do you respond when? How should me as just a regular guy? I've never been a cold case detective for a major metropolitan police department. How do I get my brain around following the evidence, facing those challenges that you face as a detective and that we face as believers?
Yeah, you know, I'd say about maybe now about 70% of my audiences are millennials. They're between that, you know, the ages of, say, 18 and 35. And these are folks who have really been challenged, either in their university experience, they've had an interruption. And many of these folks have been so deeply interrupted that they never come back to their faith. As a matter of fact, two-thirds that walk away in their college years will never come back to the church. Now, they may believe something on the backside, but it's been either terribly damaged or they just have walked away from it altogether. And that's the kind of interruption that I think all of us have in microcosm at some point. Now, look, you might be older like me, and maybe you're involved in your whole life. You've been a Christian. You're married to a Christian. And so whatever little interruption, you may have your doubts, but you're afraid to even voice those doubts. But they are still the nagging interruptions, but the entire culture seems to be aligned against our Christian worldview. And for young people, when they're still deciding what the worldview is they want to embrace, those kinds of nagging doubts become deal breakers. They are the end all. And so I think as parents have to understand that we can no longer simply teach our students what Christianity teaches, because at some point they're going to have a why question, not just a what question, but a why question. And you, if you're honest with yourself, you've had those too. And those become the kind of the hot spots for interruptions in your faith. They're the why questions that you're having a hard time answering. And I spent my entire first year or so investigating Christianity, really just trying to answer the why questions from a cold case perspective. And that was helpful. So by the time I finally got to be a youth pastor, maybe 6 or 7 years later, I was a high school youth pastor for 6 years. And I can tell you that I spent time with those students just helping them understand why this is true. They needed to know evidentially why it's true. You may think, well, if we're in a culture where we're in a post-truth culture, you hear this all the time now, right? Mm-hmm. Well, when it comes to young people, not really. Young people still want to know, is it really true? Because the people who are advocating against Christianity and trying to interrupt our kids, they actually believe that atheism is true in a way that's very modernist in their approach. We have to take a modernist approach, in other words, an evidential approach with our students, because trust me, the people who are arguing against Christianity aren't arguing against it in a very relativistic, kind of calm, everything is true. No, they think that this is false, and they are making a case with our kids that it is false. We need to make an appropriate evidential response, and that's what I think we try to do with these conferences, these Fearless Faith conferences. But all my work, really, since I became a Christian, and especially since I became a youth pastor, has been to help young people know that this is really true.
Truth. You know, for so long we've had, you know, truth, the relativistic nature of truth, or there's no absolute truth, or my truth equals your truth equals his truth equals her truth, and don't you dare try to tell me about that there is a truth. How do you get past that?
Well, I mean, look, the whole point is if everything is true, then nothing is true, right? Because when we say truth, there's an exclusive nature to truth that is part of the definition. This is either arsenic or lemonade I'm about to drink. It's not both, and it's not neither. It's one or the other, right? So I need to know which is it. And we do this all the time. We don't live in a relativistic way. We want to know, is that thing we're about to shave with a razor or a straight edge? We want to know, is that thing we're drinking poison or not? We approach our lives with very distinct goals in knowing about whether something is true. But it comes to spirituality. When it comes to whether or not there might be a God who has an idea of how we ought to live, well, then, of course, that's where we start to think, well, you know, truth is flexible. Of course it's flexible, because you don't want that to be true. That thing that seems to be limiting you from doing the things you ought not do. I get it. Listen, I was young and I wasn't a Christian until I was 35, so I understand what that's like. I used to say it this way. If young people want to walk away from the church and walk away from Christianity because they want to have fun and they're a bit rebellious and they don't want to be limited, that's on them. I mean, I've done that. It doesn't lead to a good place, but it's not on me. It's on them. If they're walking away from Christianity, though, because they don't think it's true, well, that's on me as their parent, as their youth pastor. My job is to make sure you know that this thing that you might want to deny is actually true. And it's like rubber band theology. You can walk away from that. You can stretch that rubber band, but when you let go of it, the further you pull it, the more it hurts when it returns. So be careful not to go too far out, because when you come back, it can be a bit of a sting. And so we want to make sure that our kids know that this is true, what they do with it. And look, parents, you might get frustrated because you think to yourself, man, I do my best to help my kids know it's true, and they still are sometimes rebellious or reject what I get that. You can do all this hard work of making the case for what you believe, and kids may still not embrace it, because God has created us with this crazy, dangerous thing called free agency, which makes our love of Him absolutely genuine, but it allows for us to be rebellious. So we have to understand that even when we do our best, our kids may still have a season of rebellion.
He's Jay Warner Wallace. We'd like to call him Jim because he said we could. And I appreciate you spending time with us today. Man, we have just in a tiny way scratched the surface. He's the author of Cold Case Christianity and God's Crime Scene.
Now we have another book, believe it or not, called Forensic Faith, coming out in May. But God's Crime Scene is just the case for God from creation. So hopefully it helps some of our young people overcome the objections that they're hearing in university, that they're hearing in culture, that, you know, that God does not exist. I think there's great evidence, even without Scripture, to believe that God does exist.
That's very good.
You know, it's funny. We started doing kids' books. So we did
super.
A Crime Scene for Kids is what I'm working on.
I love it.
So that comes out in October.
Love
so
it. Follow Jim Wallace, Jay Warner Wallace, on Twitter. You won't be disappointed with that. I do, and I get challenged just about every day. My Fitbit, as we talked about yesterday, the Fitbit of our faith. My Fitbit is for faith is constantly being challenged by things that I read from Jay Warner Wallace. So, Jim Wallace, I appreciate your time with us today. Thank you so much for being a part of what we're doing here at Intentional Living and helping us to talk more about when God interrupts and how we can successfully engage those interruptions.
Thanks, brother, for having me. I appreciate it. Keep up doing the great work.
I just thank God for your ministry. I thank God for each of you, for loving God, and I just can't begin to tell you how 99.7, how your program Intentional Living has changed my life, and because of the growth that's brought, everyone around me can benefit from that. It's a powerful blessing in my life, and I just thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, and you know, you're doing the work, and we are the cheerleaders. That's the way I look at ourselves. We're here to help equip, to cheerlead, to encourage, to spur you on, to, yay, you can do it, you know, every day. We need that kind of support, don't we? And that's intentional living. And, you know, we're now across the country, got so many families and individuals, even business people who've said, we want to be intentional. We see the benefit, not only personally, but more so bringing glory to God. Come and join us. Be intentional living member of the support family. Every month, your support allows us to do this. And we've got a great starter kit. We're going to send to you a couple of my best-selling books autographed. And it's all our gift to say thanks. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com today. More when God interrupts next time from Intentional Living.